We are putting into action a plan to build nearly 4 million homes by 2031 and to unlock the door to the middle class for more young Canadians.
More in the morning continues on News Talk 1010, Toronto.
That is Chrystia Freeland, the finance minister, part of her budget speech yesterday. Pierre Poilievre, perhaps not surprisingly, immediately after the presentation of the budget, said the Conservatives will vote against it.
Conservatives will vote against this wasteful inflationary budget that is like a pyromaniac spraying gas on the inflationary fire that he lit.
Okay. And so then we get to the question of whether the NDP would vote against the budget, because if they did, then that would bring down the government. We'd have an election. But Jagmeet Singh is kind of the reluctant mistress of Justin Trudeau.
It's not a decision we're going to make yet, just yet. While we know there's a number of things that we fought for there in the budget, the protection for renters, the school lunch program to feed kids in school, and the medication coverage, the contraceptives, the diabetes and devices, those are good measures that we fought for them. They're in there. But I've got some concerns. How is a Liberal government, Justin Trudeau, going to justify cutting 5,000 public sector's employees and show me a plan where that doesn't mean cuts to services for people? What about the fact that they have not addressed the gap in infrastructure and housing spending for Indigenous communities, or the fact that people have waited for years or a year and a half for the disability benefit and it's only $200 at a time when the cost of living is so high? What's the plan to increase that? So I want to hear response to those concerns before we commit.
It's a strange hill to die on in defending jobs for federal workers. I mean, most people would like to see the civil service reduced. Worth noting, Pierre Poilievre is going to respond to the budget on Jerry Agar's show this morning at 10:35. And Jagmeet Singh is going to be on The Rush. We actually had an invitation out to Justin Trudeau, but it seems he's going to maintain his boycott of this show, which has lasted since 2016. Vashi Kapelos is here, our senior political correspondent, and what a pleasure to actually have you on this day after the budget.
Hi, John. So nice to be with you.
Okay, so, I mean, top line items. First of all, it's $480.5 billion, $39.3 billion. Just under $40 billion in terms of deficit. Before we start digging into certain pocket items here, what's your takeaway from all of this?
My takeaway was kind of more political in nature. Like, I think yesterday, because they had announced so much already, the focus was very much on what new revenue measures they would bring in and where does that leave the numbers. And I thought that they would have put something else in the budget yesterday that would have kind of distracted from those numbers and created a bit more of a political punch for them. And I found that to be absent. And so I was kind of surprised by that. And therefore, I feel like those top line numbers, including, you said $39 billion of spending, that's over 6 years. That's net after they make these anticipated savings through cutting the public service, for example. But that's all anticipated. It hasn't actually happened. So if you take away those savings, it's more than $50 billion in new spending. And I feel like people are talking about that today. They're talking about the capital gains changes. And I'm not so sure they're talking about everything the government wanted them to, which they were kind of successful in the past 2 weeks around building more housing and addressing kind of generational unfairness. So I kind of was surprised, I guess, at the way it rolled out yesterday.
Okay. And you mentioned the capital gains business. I think a lot of people expected they would just up the tax rate on people who earn a lot of money, but instead they've decided to go after what people earn on the stock market and in other investments. Does that actually economically add up?
Well, they say it's going to generate close to $20 billion in revenue over a number of years. So it helps them pay for the new spending that they're doing. I mean, most of that comes in is going back out again. It's not necessarily going into paying down the deficit or shrinking the size of the deficit. They do forecast the size of that deficit shrinking over 5 years. But, you know, to $20 billion. It's not ever eliminated. There's no path to balance laid out. It also allows the finance ministers to say, I met the three fiscal anchors I outlined for myself in the fall economic statement. But I think it's, you know, I know it affects like a narrow portion of corporations, pardon me, I think it's like 12% and a narrow subsection of Canadians, but it's not just people who hold money in the stock market. It's also people who are self-employed and let's say don't have a pension. So they've invested in real estate instead. And now you've really cut into the money that they're going to be able to live on in their retirement or pass on to their children, for example, if they were to pass away. And I think that, you know, the corporations view it as a de facto additional tax anyway. Like I do think there is some tangible impact there, both politically and from a policy perspective. And so, yeah, they didn't do the big stuff, like the stuff they had set our expectations at, like brand new wealth tax, brand new excess profit tax. Yeah. But they did do something.
Okay. The finance minister and a prime minister will often try to represent a budget as having a narrative, you know, or a theme. Did they actually meet that threshold in this one?
Yeah, I think their narrative is very clear. It's generational fairness, and it's acknowledging the fact that I think the generation of Canadians under the age of 43 do not feel they will be able to do the kinds of things that their parents or grandparents were able to do to secure their economic future, namely buy a home. So I think that part is clear. I think they have definitely made a lot of policy announcements throughout the past few weeks included in this budget to gear themselves to address that problem. The issue they face is that they have, you know, that feeling is not brand new. My sisters live in Toronto. I'm pretty sure they felt they can't afford a home for the last 10 years, even despite the fact that they have jobs. And so I think that the execution of it and the fact that they've been in office for 8 years are two things that work against the potential political impact of what they've announced. I think they get it. They're trying to address it. But is it too little too late? That's a very live question.
I sense that it's a false impression that we need to sort of hold our breath to see if the NDP are going to support this because they don't want an election. So, I mean, you know, no. I'm sure Jugmeet's just stalling around.
I mean, look, I'm never 100% right, but I would be shocked if they didn't. The Bloc and the Conservatives are pretty clear they don't support the budget. The NDP has to make a show of saying, oh, we didn't get these, you know, extra taxes we wanted. If they want to go to the polls when they're at, you know, 18 points, go, have at her. But I don't think that's what they want. I don't think that's what their friends in the Liberal Party want. So I would, I mean, hey, stranger things have happened, but I'd die of shock if it did.
Okay, so you spend every day on Parliament Hill. So I'm very interested in your impression of something that I believe, which is the Liberals, perhaps privately to themselves, have admitted they're kind of James Cagney in that movie where he's standing on top of a gas container and he fires in a gun into it. And he, you know, he's going out with a big flame. My impression is that the Liberals have decided, okay, we're going down in 18 months, so we're just going to do everything we wanted to do. Let's keep going.
So I have a bit of a different impression, and it's that there's a good chance we're going down in 18 months, but we're going to go, excuse the expression, balls to the wall right now to try and save the furniture and save the bacon. And this, I think, is their true only in the past year and a half concerted big effort to try and do that. This is them throwing it all at the wall in the hopes that they can come back in a year and say, look, this stuff did happen. Look, your life is better. It's a really tall order. The stuff that they're doing, if you're building more housing supply over the next 7 years, is exactly that over the next 7 years. I'm not sure they're going to have that proof point in a year. I think they from the conversations I've had, if they can't move the polls by about 5 points in their internals, which are kind of more accurate than the ones we see, yeah, by the end of June, I think the prime minister's future as the leader of the party is certainly in jeopardy. So I think this is a big deal for them, and they hope it does a lot of things, but they know that realistically, it likely won't.
Thanks a lot for this. Thanks for getting up early for us.
Anytime. Thanks, John, for having me.
Okay, I'll take you up on that. That's Vashika Phallus, CTV senior political correspondent. You can hear more with Vashi at noon today. And incidentally, if you're wondering about that James Cagney movie, it was called White Heat. And he's standing on top of this sphere full of fuel. And he says, "Top of the world, Mom." And then he fires the gun into it and blows up.